Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast. Our Bible passage today is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. It says, "First of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, a testimony at the proper time." Well, there's a song that we know very well. It's a song that is kind of considered, I think, one of the next national anthems. We love to sing it. Everybody knows it. It first was introduced to the country in 1938. Adolf Hitler was gathering his forces together. It was a very tense time. It was a very unsure time. People really weren't sure of a lot of things. So when this song was introduced by a favorite voice that was on radio, everybody knew Kate Smith at the time, and they loved to hear her sing. When it was first introduced, it really became a prayer. It became a song that the country rallied around. Now, you know it very well. All of us know God Bless America. We've seen it over. And there may be some things that we did not know about this song. One, it was written by Irving Berlin. Irving Berlin wrote this. The same person who wrote White Christmas is the person who put this together. It was first rejected by the Ku Klux Klan because it was written by a Jewish man. And so they didn't want to have anything to do with it. But God Bless America became, a prayer. And I want us to see just a portion of the video when Kate Smith sang it for the first time on Armistice Day in 1938.
On this November 11th, the 21st anniversary of the armistice of World War I, that is the record of those who said they had no more territorial ambitions. Czechoslovakia annihilated, Albania invaded, is the number you have just heard. And now we take great pleasure in presenting to you the star of our program, Miss Kate Smith.
Hello, everybody. It is my happy privilege to introduce a new song, God Bless America. While the storm clouds gather, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a
I just wanted to introduce that song because when we sing that song, generally, that's what we sing. We just sing the chorus. People may not be aware that there are actually verses to that song. I want to read back again what she started with, and this is what she said. While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that is free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home. And that really, that song has been our prayer. We want God to bless America. But I realize as we pray that, God bless America, as we pray that, I realize, you know what? We have a responsibility in answer to that prayer. We as Christians, as believers, have a responsibility as God answers that prayer. And there's three things we must do in order for God to bless America, as I see it, and as I look in this passage that I just read. First of all, we as Christians must pray faithfully. We must pray faithfully. Look with me at verse 1 again. Verse 1 says this, "First of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone." When I first read that verse, when I first studied that verse, I couldn't get past one word in that verse, and the word was urge. Urge. I'd seen that before in the Bible. I'm urging you. Why would God deem it necessary to urge us? And I went back to my Christian or Greek dictionary, and I wanted to read what is the Greek word in there. And the Greek word for that, urge, is a very strong word. It is a word which means plead. It's a word which means beg. So why would God seem necessary here to beg that we will not forget to pray? That we will not look over praying. I realized something about the marriage that Lisa and I have yesterday. Yesterday, we're trying to get things together in order to pack and get things ready, and we're getting things out and putting them in suitcases and everything like that. And I'm walking by, and on the island there in our kitchen, there is a container of laundry detergent. And so I picked that up, and I'm getting ready to put it away. And Lisa said, "Well, no, wait. Wait, before you put that away, I'm going to take that detergent with us. So don't put it away. I need to take it with us." And I said, "Lisa, I'm just trying to get things organized right now. I promise you I will not forget this laundry detergent." And I realized something else about our marriage during this. I realized that this has basically been our marriage over these 30-plus years that we've been married. I put things away, and Lisa gets things out. Is that how it happens? Is that how you found it to be true as well? Lisa gets things out, I put things away. And so the minute Lisa gets something out, I'm putting it away. You know, she said, "I'm not finished with that yet." And so we're doing that back and forth all the time. And so that's what happened yesterday. I was getting ready to put it away. She said, "Eddie, I'm taking it with me." I said, "Lisa, I promise you I will not forget this detergent. I promise you I'll get it back out. But I just want to get it away out of sight right now so that we can get organized here." And she said, "Okay." So last night, I'm not kidding, we were watching TV, sitting on the couch, and I could not remember. It was bothering me, and I didn't really want to ask the question because Lisa's really giving me a hard time about this kind of stuff anymore anyway. I didn't really want to ask the question, but I really felt like it was important. I finally looked at Lisa, and I said, "Lisa, earlier today I told you that I would not forget something that we needed to take with us on vacation. What was it that I told you I would not forget?" And Lisa said, "It was the laundry detergent." I said, "Oh, okay, yeah, thank you. I won't forget it, Lisa. We got it, right? So I will not forget it." But here's something I realized that I'm prone to. I don't know about you, but I'm learning a lot as we're going through this series on prayer. And I am learning to pray. I know that sounds weird to say. After 20 years in ministry, I am learning to finally pray as we're going through this prayer series. But here's something else I've found out as we've gone through this series. Satan wants nothing more than my time. He wants nothing more that Satan, if he could interrupt my Christian walk with God, if he could interrupt my Christian fellowship with God, this is what he's trying to do more than anything else. He's trying to make me forget or overlook my devotion, my time with God and reading my Bible, my time with God and praying. That is where he attacks me the most. Now, you would think it's really easy. It's easy to read the Bible for 15 minutes. It's easy to pray for 15 minutes. It's easy to do those things. But I got to tell you, that is the most challenging thing to me when it comes to my Christian walk with God. I found that there are so many times that I just forget. I forget to do that prayer time in the morning. Or I think to myself, you know what, I need to take care of this first. I'll come back to this. And I never come back to it. And hours turn into days, and days turn into weeks, And weeks can sometimes turn into months before I've had a very solid time with God. And so that's why God is saying here, you know what? We need to make sure that we don't overlook this. We need to make sure we don't let this go. God's blessing comes when we pray faithfully. And I tell you how I know that. A couple weeks ago, I gave us all an assignment. And I said, okay, would you do me a favor? Would you go home and make a list of people that you want to pray for? People in the church, your family, your coworkers. Make a list of all the people that you need to pray for. And then pray for four things every day this week. Pray for their unity. Pray for their joy. Pray for God's hedge of protection around them. And pray that the word of God will sanctify them with his truth. Pray that for all these people this week. And then at the end of the week, let 3 to 5 people know that you're praying these things for them. Now, I did that, and I was sharing in Sunday school class, there is one person that, man, they are on fire. All of a sudden, it's just like something I ignited, you know, something ignited within them, and they're calling me, they're texting me. They are so excited to hear that I was praying for them. But I know of at least one other person that did that, and the reason why I know that is because she called me on the phone, and she's texted me and let me know some responses that she's received back from people. And I asked her if she wouldn't mind coming and sharing that today. So Joanna Shake's going to come and share about how she has seen Jesus through this time of prayer. So Joanna, thank you.
When Brother Eddie asked if I would speak today, I hesitated. I did. Not just a little, I hesitated a lot. Because, I don't know how you do it every week to stand behind the pulpit. It's quite a bit intimidating. But then I paused. And I thought, anytime that God blesses us or answers prayers, we are to share that. And as a Christian, I don't do that enough. And so I thought, oh, gosh, I can't hesitate. I need to share this and to let people know how God has impacted not only my life, not only the three people's lives that I prayed for last week, but beyond that, the people that they impacted too. So I was super excited. And for the reason that Eddie said, so oftentimes, we just dismiss things. We think, oh, yeah, I'm going to do it this week, and then I don't. We get busy. But what I liked about his assignment a couple of weeks ago, it was very specific. He said, carve out that time, pray for people, take them from your list. And so those instructions were quite helpful because that was a reminder. So I did exactly what he asked, wrote down those names. I selected 3 people, and then I carved out time that week, specific time, just to pray for those 3 people and for those 4 items, joy, protection, truth, and unity. So that Sunday after church, I emailed them, just like the instructions, and said, hey, just want you to know, our pastor did this wonderful assignment. I selected you. This is what I've prayed for you. Just want you to know. Not expecting anything in return. And actually, I think the question was, could you tell? And I didn't. For some reason, I left that part off. But within 15 minutes, my friend Laura texted back, a long text, the longest text I think I'd ever received, to tell me her personal experience. And what might seem just a small thing, it was huge for her. She was resisting something, and God was telling her, don't do this, don't do this. And so she resisted. And it's just something small. She wanted to go to the walk. She wanted to take her baby for a walk. And God's like, no, don't leave the neighborhood. Don't leave the neighborhood. And she's just like, she's so bummed, she said. She's like, I really wanted to do it, but I listened to God. Turned the corner, and she ran into a fellow who's a neighbor that had lost his wife. And he just wanted to talk. He just needed her there. And she knew it was a divine appointment. She knew that for some reason she was meant to be there. And she said, I knew that for some reason, somebody was praying for me, and it was just remarkable. The power of prayer just overwhelms me, and I'm just so grateful to God for just the small opportunities to impact someone. Sorry. I hope I'm not embarrassing you, Stephen Shake. Sorry if I am. I don't mean to. The second response came later that day. Another friend who lives in Louisville, and I haven't seen him for a while, but he's precious to me, and he's one of my dearest friends, who said, Josie, yeah, you know, thank you for this. Angie, his wife, and I were in Nashville. He's working on a project. But for some time, something this week just told me things were going to be good. It was going to be a good week, and I don't know how I knew that. And I was like, oh, my goodness, there's really something to what Eddie's got. This is something. And then I didn't hear from the third person until Thursday. They sent me an email, and they too felt they could feel the unity. There had been some tension, some divisiveness, and there had been some things that had happened during that week. And I'm taking way too much time, and I apologize. I just wanted to offer those illustrations to let you know that when we pray for people, not only do they receive that blessing, but they're blessing other people too. And I'm just grateful for Eddie for allowing me to do that. And thank you all for letting me talk. And I'm sorry I talked too long. I got to get back to nursery. But it was just remarkable. And I was just so excited. And I could not wait to share that with Eddie. And thank you for allowing me to share it with you too. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's going to bless America. When we do that, when we pray faithfully, and we're already seeing that. People are seeing Jesus in their lives as they're praying. I tell you a second way that God's going to bless America. It's when we live blessed. And Joanna talked on this. You know, Luke 12:48 says, "For to whom much is given, much is expected." God has blessed us. God has blessed us. I know we have a country that has some issues. We know that. We don't have to look any further than our favorite news program in order to see it. We know that there are things going on in this country, but golly, this is the greatest country in the world. And we are blessed to live here. And as we're blessed, we need to be a blessing to others. Think about that for a moment. Think about it. If you're in this room right now and you make $24,000 a year, you are in the top 8% of the wealthiest people in the world. If you make $40,000 a year, you're in the top 4% of the wealthiest people in the world. If you make $100,000 a year, you're in the top 1% of the wealthiest people in the world. We are blessed materially. We are blessed spiritually. We were able to walk out of our house with a Bible under our arm, get in our car, and come to a place where we can pray freely. We can praise and worship Jesus Christ freely. We can do that here. We are blessed in America. We are. And because we are blessed, we need to look for ways to be blessings to others. This is how God's going to bless America. When Christians look for ways to be a blessing to others, and I've got somebody else that wants to come and share a wonderful story. And the reason why they want to share a wonderful story is because they are a wonderful story. Linda's story. Thank you. I worked hard on that one. I worked on that all morning, Linda.
I think everybody in here knows me. If not, they will from now on, Eddie. But anyway, for those of you that don't know, I work at Davis Funeral Home. And week before last was a very memorable week, one I'll never forget. I'm kind of semi-retired, and I only work when we're really busy or if some of my loved ones or my church family or my neighbors, someone I've always known, passed away. Well, our neighbor passed away. And his funeral was on a Friday, and we were going out into the country for his funeral. The man driving the hearse is a bad diabetic. I was in the lead car, and the preacher was behind me, not Brother Eddie, and then there was the hearse. His sugar bottomed out at 33. If you all didn't hear this, it was the most, one of the most horrific things I've ever witnessed, to see in the rearview mirror the hearse is going from one side of the road to the other. It went down the embankment right across from where they sell concrete down the road. And I saw that in the rearview mirror as it was happening. Well, I got the car stopped and I got out. I quickly called 911 and I hurried back. Kyle, I didn't run because I didn't think you needed a fat woman in a rainstorm laying in the middle of the road with a heart attack. But anyway, I went back, and Bob was okay. He just needed something to eat and drink. There was not one person hurt in that wreck. And we talk about seeing Jesus, and I saw Jesus that day. I saw it in the woman that hurriedly ran back to her shop to get what Bob needed, something with sugar in it. I saw it in the EMTs that were there to help and the rescue people, and in the deputy that kept saying, "Calm down, ma'am. It's going to be all right." I knew it was going to be all right, but You know, I'm 65 years old, and I've worked there for 11 years, and about six times I've been the lead car, and that was one of those six, and that happened under my watch, and I was scared to death that Bob wasn't going to be okay, but he was. And God was with us. He had his hedge of protection around every one of us. Nobody got hurt. It could have been a bad wreck, but God was there to see that everything was all right. This was like a weekend of events for me. So on Saturday, we go with the ladies, and we go up, and we have our wonderful time. And while I'm there, the work calls me. And they said, what happened to his lapel pin? I said, I took it off of him. I know I took it off of him. Well, it's missing. We can't find it. I thought, oh, mercy, because they specifically said they wanted that back. Well, they never called me back, so I assumed they didn't find it. When I got home, I went to their house, and they had found that lapel pin down in the bottom of the bag under a fold. It had fallen out of where I'd put it in and all that. And I didn't just check and then leave. I sat down, and we're talking about a couple that was married for 70 years. They have one child, and now her husband's gone, and this child in a few weeks will go back to Florida, and there she'll be. And we talked, and we laughed, and we had a good time remembering things. And I stayed probably over an hour. And as I got ready to leave, I said, is there anything else I can do for you? And the daughter laughingly said, well, you could cook supper. And I hadn't been to the grocery. There wasn't anything in my house. And I said, she says, no, I'm just kidding. And I said, okay, so I go home. The first thing I thought of whenever I woke up on Sunday morning was, they need a meal cooked. They need something. I cooked the meal, and I took it over, and Helen said to me, yesterday I was at my lowest point, and you cheered me up. Today I was hungry, and you brought me food. I never thought about it like that. And like I saw Jesus that day, there's so many of us in here that could use our talents and what we do to be Jesus to other people. And I really think that's why God puts us here, to help other people and to do for them. I'd a whole lot rather come help you clean your house than clean mine, and Johnny will say amen to that. But I really think that's why God puts us here, and I want to challenge all of you all to be Jesus to somebody else. Thank you.
God's going to bless America when we pray faithfully, when we live blessed, and finally here today, God's going to bless America when Christians tell the truth. And I want to read verse 4. It says, who wants everyone, God wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It is our responsibility as Christians to tell the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we talked about. Yeah, invite them to church, that's wonderful, but we are to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's all of our jobs. Not just people in particular, it's all of our jobs. Years ago, I'll go ahead and close with this. Years ago, Billy Graham was going to do a crusade in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And as he did with all of his crusades, he would have a team of people that went and did a preview before the crusade began. They would have sermons, they would have songs, they'd do a few services leading up to the crusade. And his associate, Leighton Ford, went and started this and got it going. And the night before the crusade was to begin, Billy Graham arrived early, and he decided, since I'm here early, I'm just going to go to the service that Leighton is preaching and just enjoy that time there. And so he did. He sat in the service. He sat by an older gentleman there next to the aisle, and Leighton Ford preached the sermon, and then he had the time of invitation like we're going to have in a moment where God speaks to your heart and you have an opportunity to respond to that time of invitation. So he did this. And so as Leighton Ford comes to the invitation, Billy Graham felt led to turn to the older gentleman sitting next to him. He said, sir, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And the gentleman said, no, I don't. And he said, well, sir, I'll be glad to walk up with you right now, and we can pray together for you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the man looked at Billy Graham, didn't know who he was. The man looked at Billy Graham. He looked back up at Leighton Ford, and he said, well, that's okay. I think I'll wait till tomorrow night when the big gun arrives. So, sharing the gospel and telling others the truth about Jesus Christ is not just for the big gun, whoever that is. It is for all of us. And I tell you, God is going to bless America when we as Christians stand and tell the truth. I love the prayer. God bless America. And He will. He will. When we pray faithfully, when we as Christians lived blessed, and when we as Christians tell the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.